time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Make every race this spring carnival even more exciting with Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Wednesday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dave.
How you going, Mickey?
Going to be top shelf today. Glenn Robbins, friend of the show, joins us.
National treasure.
Cannot wait. He's had a near-death experience. Ooh. We'll get to the bottom of that. And also, he's going to tell us what he's not very good at, or what's harder than it looks for him. He's a big baby, so it could be anything. Hey, Nerilee Meadows is going to join us for sport. We didn't get to do it on Monday. No. We're going to do it. There's big boxing news. Mm-hmm. There's big Ashes news. There's Socceroos news, golf news. You wait, or we'll attack it head on. World sport is up and running. Dave, would you get in a mobile hot tub?
I would never, ever get in a mobile hot tub. No,
well,
the germs, yuck.
Wait till you hear what's happening overseas. Right, we've got so much to get through. Entertainment news, song whisperers up and running. Take your calls, take your tweets. Let's get cracking, Dave.
Here we go for a Wednesday, Molloy.
This is Molloy.
Now, it's time for world news.
Dave, let's go to the Solomon Islands. It was a nice break from everything, according to two men who were rescued after 29 days lost at sea.
Oof, Jesus.
The men set off from the Solomon Islands at the beginning of September 10 on a 200K journey.
Yeah.
And appeared nearly a month later in Papua New Guinea.
Jeez.
Said they survived on oranges,
yes,
coconuts,
right,
and seawater that they trapped. Now, I'm glad that they both got there.
Yeah.
And I'm not being cynical.
Right.
But I'm reminded of the guy who turned up in Brazil, mm-hmm, having been at sea for 103 days.
3 months,
Not that much lighter
than
when he left.
Interesting.
And I said, what did you survive on? He goes, you know, some seagulls and you know,
seaweed.
A couple of crabs.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And what happened to the bloke you left with?
Where's he now?
That's interesting. As he burped.
Yeah, tummy rumbles. Oh, no.
Now, I'm not suggesting it'll be easy, these trips away at sea.
Yeah.
But some of us want to check that these two Solomon Islanders weren't three Solomon Islanders.
29 days is a long time, and just on oranges and coconuts, I'm not sure.
And let's be honest, being a Solomon Islander, that's a good feed.
Oh, yeah.
They are big boys.
Big boys, indeed.
So.
No, you're right.
Who's carving? As they say, after day 28,
well, three
I'm
now,
just
two.
Putting it out
no,
there, Dave.
No, you're making a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
All right.
In world news. I've got a story for you in world news.
What is it?
A Bosnian guy builds a rotating house so that his wife has a diversified view. I've got the news story. Take a listen.
In order to please his wife, a Bosnian man has built a rotating house so she can watch the sunrise one moment and passes by the next. On the slowest speed, the house makes a full circle in 24 hours, but when set to fast, it turns around in just 22 seconds.
Wow.
Wow.
Jeez.
22 seconds.
Nah.
Well, that's 22 seconds you won't get back. Can I say, I've had some high-maintenance girlfriends. But when you have to build a house that rotates so that she can see the sun coming up and the sun going down,
Whoosh, here's an
you
idea.
You are under the pump.
Here's an idea. Just move to the other side of the house and then you got the other view. Simple.
Dave, unless he can work it to your advantage.
Okay.
And you go, when the sun's going down,
yes,
you head out
right
at night.
Yes.
And then when you want to come home before the sun comes up, you just reverse the house.
That's morning. Genius. They're not bad.
I've been home for 2 hours.
So the back door becomes the front door. This is good. I feel like you're
what
on the Matterhorn.
What do you do during eclipse?
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
You'd have to go.
I don't know. You'd be really confused, wouldn't you? Which way is front? I'm just saying
that guy, I want to see the block Bosnian style. There's a guy builds a rotating house to keep his wife happy. Jeez. Hey, let's go to Nashville now, Dave.
Oh, Nashville.
And a local government looks like it's shut. It's going to shut down a mobile hot tub that drives around the city for apparently health reasons. Can you believe it? Have we got the audio?
Yes.
It all started in 2019 when owner Guy Williams approached the Metro Health Department about starting the mobile party tub business. Health Department officials eventually inspected the bus, telling Williams he would need to get a public pool permit and make other design corrections. Williams never returned to the Health Department, but continued to operate the party bus regardless. Although the injunction was served to the business back in August, the party tub website still shows booking availability through November.
Come on, guys. Look, on our last day of work, I'm going to book us a mobile hot tub. We all get in it. We drive around town. What do you reckon?
No chance I would ever
come on, guys.
Ever get in that.
Are we in it?
No.
Yuck.
Not happening.
I've seen the photo.
These things are dirty at the best of times.
Yes.
But I've seen a picture of the mobile hot tub, and it has the same consistency as chicken and sweet corn soup.
You get
in there at your own peril.
So what do? You travel around Nashville on the back of a trailer. So it's on a trailer, essentially, this hot tub. And then you just do the sights. Because I've done the Nashville tour and, you know, it's pretty good. You've got the
stay away from the mobile hot tub and Molly Meldrum Spa. And that, I've had said enough. What about in these COVID times, So it's like a gelati van, but instead of going out and getting ice cream, you just go, it's pulling up, here it comes.
Jump in, guys.
Let's all go and
set the temperature up a bit hot.
Guys, leave it with me. We are going to.
There is no chance. What?
I'm going to get the mobile hot tub for our last day, and we're going on a Thelma and Louise road trip. We're going to go drive from Melbourne to Sydney,
right,
to Brisbane, cross the Nullarbor. Oh, that'd be good.
So the Molloy, actually, it's not a bad idea. So the Molloy hot tub
Tour. Molloy hot tub road.
And you stop in at different places and the jump in or, you know, bring a
Michaela
towel.
And I are the drivers for this tour.
You'll be in the back. You'll be in the back, tops akimbo. As we go through the bottle load drive through, I'll do the ordering.
Okay. I think we need a wrap.
Hey, Dave, this would be. Don't finish your pool.
You don't think? Stop
I'm
now?
I'm going to just park the hot tub
Righto.
Out the front of your house.
Oh,
hey,
yuck.
There's plenty more
there
world
is.
News after this.
It's Molloy.
Driving you home, this is Molloy.
Here's some more world news.
Let's go to India. Indian shop assistants have finally won the right to sit down after years of standing up. This is a good story. So Tamil Nadu has become the second Indian state to introduce a right to sit law.
What do you mean?
Thousands of low-paid... Dave, listen up.
Yes.
You might learn something.
Okay.
Thousands of low-paid shop workers have faced exhaustion exhausting conditions now and are spied on by their employees.
Mm.
But now this order requires store owners to provide seating and let employees take the weight off their feet.
Of course.
Whenever possible. So this is a great win for the Indian worker.
They get to sit down.
In my instance, that would be going backwards.
How do you mean?
If I had to sit. So I like to lie on the couch. These are my conditions.
Yeah.
In a recliner with a drinks holder.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a little back rub. Wearing one of those pillows that you wear on planes, so you don't have any.
Well, like a neck pillow.
If I won the right to sit while I work, that would be going backwards. What do we want? Lie on the couch. When do we want it? Now. In fact, if I was made to sit instead of lie or recline, I would set myself on fire.
Come on.
I would take it to the next level.
I used to work in retail. I used to do 12-hour shifts on my feet as a young man. And I'm telling you right now, and those people out there, they know how hard it is. That's a long day on your pins. So.
It's terrible.
It's
not required.
Killed by the end of the day. So, yeah, well done, India.
I'd like to bring in the hammock bill.
Actually, that'd be really good, wouldn't it?
2 hours of hammock time a day.
What about a siesta? I reckon we're due for a siesta in Australia. We should bring this in as a law. It's middle of the day, you know, tools
and
down.
And sombreros to go with it.
Sombreros.
No, siesta is a good rule.
Isn't
when
it?
You go to countries that have a siesta, you go, you're so sophisticated.
Yes.
Siestas and 3-day work week. There, I've said it.
Not far off.
Why not? All right, let's go now to...
the UK?
Why?
Oh, I've got the story here. Is this the one you're looking for?
No, I don't want to go there.
All right, where do you want to go next?
All right, let's go to the British man.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's ripper. He's visited 51 bars in 24 hours in the hope of setting a new world record. newsflash, already done that.
Oh, I bet you've been on plenty of pub crawl
already
over the years.
Already done. I've done that in the Golden Mile in Edinburgh before a show.
How many pubs in the Golden Mile?
That's a lot.
Yeah? 51?
At least.
Jeez.
24-hour pub crawl.
Before a show?
Oh yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, what about the time I got to a show during festival and I walked in, I went, bloody hell, I didn't know there was a show on before us. And it was actually our show in progress.
Stumbled on
to,
him.
And to get to the dressing rooms, I had to go over the stage.
Wow.
And I think Jeff Stilson was on at the time. I tried to crawl across the stage unnoticed.
Incognito.
I think he said, don't worry, he's got 20 minutes, then he's all yours. And I came out.
That's awesome. Well done, sir. 51
that
pubs,
reminds
24
me
hours.
Of the, is it the story about the English thespians? Richard Harris and Burton.
Yeah.
And they came out to Australia to do theatres of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing Macbeth or something. And they'd been out drinking all day. Anyway, Richard Harris, running late, runs in, changes, runs onto the stage and trips over and he falls and his face ends up over the front of the stage. And a woman in the front row goes, Mr. Harris, I believe you're drunk. He goes, you reckon I'm drunk? Wait till you see Burton. All right, I think we're done.
Yeah, we are.
You're winding me up. No, I'm so sorry we got distracted.
We're going to talk about bad breakups too. So have a think about that. 1-3-3-5-3.
I might have something.
You might have some stories. All right.
For the drive home, this is Malloy. Malloy's Entertainment Report.
Big news of the day. Adele is back. This is such great news. We can't wait to see what she's going to come up with.
Amazing.
It's always fantastic. 30 will be the new album. I was surprised to learn, though, that she's a bit of a dunderhead.
What do you mean?
A bit of a simpleton when it comes to technology. Here she is, and it's kind of cute, grappling with some technology, some IT, that really should be just taken for granted.
Oh, I've never done this before. I keep having to scroll down, but there's just so many. See, I don't know how to use all of this. It's asked me to send a request. That makes me frightened. See, it's asked me, I don't know. It's asked me to go in someone else's room. I don't know, what room's that? I can see you all writing on there. Troy says he can help. How's he going to help? Well, yes, Alicia, I do need some help. I can't figure out whose room. Someone's trying to take me into a room. I've got to go because I've got to do an interview. I've got an interview at midday and it's midday now. I love you. Do you know what? Let's see if I can get out of this. I bet I'll be logged on in forever.
Oh, she's adorable.
How basic is it? And don't panic and don't take it out on others.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you there right now because this whole team, every day we have to deal with you and tech issues.
What are you talking about, Dave?
Well, I remember clowning you ages ago on this, but you, I think, were you remote one time and were trying to connect your computer and you had to talk to IT and poor young James there. No, have a listen. This is Mick.
And what will happen on a tile? All of a sudden I can't control. I'm not in control. All of a sudden now I'm watching something else I didn't even want to watch. So you're on the story side.
Yeah.
F*** you all. It's really surprising. Call me old school, but I like a tile. More people would look at a tile, wouldn't it?
Yeah, more people would.
So why would you put it on a tile?
Because you can have an instant swipe-up. You can't do that on a tile.
Which I don't like. Yeah, I don't have any swipe-up. Would like the answers in front of me if we could.
Don't listen to him.
Very, very pushy. I don't know how this team puts up with you, to be honest.
See me in my office.
Wherever that might be.
Now, listen, I want to get on to some serious news
yes.
here. I've often been fascinated by this, and I can't believe I've never heard the actual story before, but it's about the Beatles and how they broke up. Because we all know it broke up. We all know, you know, the Yoko's involved and all this, but how did it actually happen? How did it go down?
Mm.
And Paul McCartney, who's just done an episode on BBC Radio.
Yeah.
Has walked us through how he found out that the Beatles were breaking up. It's fascinating to listen to.
I'm not the person who instigated the split.
You brought the lawyers in there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, no. John walked into the room one day and said, I'm leaving the Beatles. And he said, it's quite thrilling. It's rather like a divorce. And then we were left to pick up the pieces. But I didn't instigate the split. That was our Johnny.
There you go.
You know what I think is to go to the split?
What's that?
Meat-free Monday.
Meat-free Monday.
I think Paul McCartney went, I've got an idea for a song. What do you reckon, John?
You're out.
What do you think? I'm done here.
I'm out.
Now, that's interesting. Now, apparently, Paul McCartney did send in the lawyers, but that was so he could extract himself from the contract with the manager.
Yeah, there was a lot of business doings. Yeah.
But there's a lot going on, but it was a messy and it was a big breakup.
One of the biggest moments in
133353. Have you been involved in a messy, protracted, dangerous, scary breakup that's world-affecting? Give us a call, 133353. I can't think of any that come to mind.
Oh, okay. Now, come on. I can think of one just off the top of my head. Oh, didn't you break up with someone halftime at a football game once? What happened there? Come on, fess up.
I left the ground early.
Oh, my God. I just can't with this story.
No, this is the best.
Whitney, what about you? What happened to you?
No, I'm good.
I've heard of one where you left someone in tears. Who was that?
Did you break up?
I broke up with my ex-boyfriend and, you know, I had to leave him crying in the middle of the lounge room while I left the house because we lived together. It was awful. It was so heartbreaking.
And what happened? Yeah, what's happening now?
Well, he's married.
Right, so who won that round?
Shut up.
This is good fun. We're going to have fun. 133353, tell us.
Yes.
Breakups. Was it emotional?
Yeah.
Trying? What circumstances? Hang on the line, Mark.
Get
You're
going
to be first cab off the rank.
Right
that's
after
a, that's
the
a cracker.
This is Malloy on Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Kerrilee Meadows coming up in just a moment, and Glenn Robbins in the second hour will be joining us as well, talking about bad breakups. On the back of the Beatles breaking up back in 1970, if you can only believe, like, the Beatles weren't even around for 10 years, right? So less than
That's
10 years,
incredible.
Created all that music in that short amount of time. It's just one of the great stories.
It would have been heartbreaking. It would have been seismic at the time to get up and read the Beatles who started it all.
Yeah.
Really, the modern English phenomenon. And it's been brought to light by a new BBC radio interview with Paul McCartney, who comes clean on how he was told and how he found out about the breakup.
I'm not the person who instigated the split.
You brought the lawyers in there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, no. John walked into the room one day and said, I'm leaving the Beatles. And he said, it's quite thrilling. It's rather like a divorce. And then we were left to pick up the pieces. But I didn't instigate the split. That was our Johnny.
Don't forget Yoko.
Big part of it.
What a big split, seismic, and you never recovered. Messy, grueling, so much intrigue. Got us thinking, have you been involved in a messy breakup? Closer to home, Mark's on the line. Mark, you have. Tell us about yours.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I was involved in a 10-year relationship. We had a 5-year-old daughter. We went to counselling. I had a vasectomy.
Yep.
2 weeks after vasectomy, she asked me to marry her. And then 2 weeks later, she dumped me.
Oh, no. Oh,
my. Now I'm just a teaser pony.
Okay.
But maybe she knew all along she was going to leave you, but didn't want you having any other children. With other
interesting
things, so she that which would make her a real like mess.
Yeah,
it'd make her a sociopath, Mick. But I got even a better one than that one. If you got time,
hey, now listen. Has she gone on to have other children?
Yeah, she has, but she's now single. Right. But I've got even a better breakup than that one.
Oh, hang on,
right. I'm hovering on the dump button.
Dave.
Yeah, all right,
yes.
Go on.
No, it's not bad.
Okay.
The previous lady before that had 3 children with her, and I called her in bed with my best mate. They had a child, and guess when it was born?
What?
My birthday.
You've been in the wars, Mark. Can you Duke Mark or something?
Case of Brick Lane draft chilled on its way for. I know, but
can I tell you what
we can do?
The vasectomy is a big story, but I'll tell you, I'll go you even one better.
Yeah.
Jeff Stilson told me this story. A mate of his in America, been married for 15 years or so, needed a kidney transplant. So his wife was compatible and said, "I'll give you the kidney."
Oh, wow.
Kids and a kidney. What a beautiful, loving story.
That is one of the great things to do in life. Yep.
A couple of years later, he's gone, "Yes, the relationship's not really working for me."
Oh, my God.
I'm not really kind of, we call, but I think we've reached the end of the road
here.
What
about the
kidney? She's gone, you know, mostly when you separate, you talk about the furniture, who gets the dog, who gets the cat. What about, can I have my kidney back?
Man, oh man, that's unbelievable.
Talk about a messy divorce. Jeez. He's got my kidney.
Yeah, got a piece of your
That knee. Is one of the all-time big-ticket items. Do kiss off, Mickey.
Well done.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
I'll have a case of Brick Lane.
All right.
Ben, fake name.
Oh, okay.
Ben is on the line. Ben, what happened to you during the breakup?
You weren't supposed to say fake name, by the way.
Boys. I went to buy a house and had a loan against my name for a few grand that I didn't know about. Turned out my ex, when we broke up, bought a few $100 worth of stuff on one, hacked my emails on one of those credit cards, reopened it, bought some stuff, didn't pay it, ended up being a few grand in interest.
Oh.
And got denied the loan, didn't know about anything. Yeah.
Got denied the loan. Your credit rating's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a process. It was a process.
Duke him, Dave.
All right, Ben, you've got yourself a slab of Brick Lane as well on its way.
Hayden's on the line. Hayden.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, this is the one that's making me laugh too. What happened to you?
So I was 15 and my girlfriend had just moved to Queensland. I live in Merrylands. Yep. And saved for about 3 months to fly up there to surprise her for her birthday. Organised it with her mum and everything.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
It took me 3 months. I had a part-time job.
15-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. So I get there on Thursday afternoon, the day before her birthday. We spend a birthday out, have a great time. Breaks up with me Saturday at midday. Don't leave. Yep. My flight home doesn't leave till the following Tuesday.
Oh, no.
What did you do?
So I'm 15 years old. I'm obviously stuck under her mum's supervision. I'm a kid, right? So I'm sitting there in like their spare bedroom crying my eyes out. For a half day.
You can't leave. She's probably entertaining other boys at this stage,
exactly.
Was she?
I don't know what she's doing now.
What do you do?
I'm engaged now, Dave. Though, good.
Case of Brick Lane draft for the pain. That's a great story.
Next caller, Dave.
It's Brett. G'day, Brett.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Yeah, good. What happened to you, buddy?
Mate, a few years back, the ex, organised a few of the mates to go to watch Bathurst 1000 at Mount Panorama, camp for the week, like you do. You got to experience it.
Definitely.
And, it was all good. She said, "Yeah, you go." I offered her to come. She said, no, it's all good. And at the time, we had a roommate living with us, which is one of her friends. And, I got a phone call at, 8 o'clock after the race that night saying that, I'm not going to be here when you get home. And my first thought was, holy shit, have you been feeding the dog for the last week?
But the good news is you still got to Bathurst.
Yeah, that's right.
Thing. You can break up with your
bad news was Holden won that weekend, story.
Hey, your mate's a dog. By the way, take advantage of your friend while he's at Bathurst. He is dirty poor, I would have thought, even in everyone else's language. All right, you get the idea. We've got plenty more callers. Get in contact with us. We might be able to do some more later on.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy. Narrowly Meadows Sports Wrap.
Still on the ground, getting the IPL across the line. How's we going over there? Is Glenn Maxwell like the tournament champion already? What's happened?
Unfortunately, they got knocked out RCB the other day, but he was in stunning form ahead of the World Cup, which is what the Aussies care about. 450s in five innings. But I tell you what, poor old Dan Christian, his teammate, with 22 off one over and absolutely cops horrific abuse, Mickey, which they've all stood up for. So stop abusing people online. They're trying their best. Yes, they don't always get it, but please stop abusing people.
Come on, Ness. It's a bit of harmless fun. Hey, who doesn't love an online troll? It's all good natured. No one gets hurt, and it's just great to see. They're good people.
When it extends to the cricketer's partners and is genuinely threatening in nature. I'm just going to go, maybe think twice about doing that next time. But
again, I've got to reiterate, narrowly, harmless fun, horseplay at worst.
Look, the Ashes has been announced, which I think everyone has been talking about when you want to extend on that cricket conversation. Yeah. 17-man squad, all the available stars are there for the Ashes. Obviously, there's still no Ben Stokes, but he wasn't actually available. But Joe Root leads the squad, no uncapped players. 10 of them haven't been to Australia before, but basically as strong as they could put out there. Jofra Archer is the other one that was unavailable with injury.
This squad from England, true or false, nearly, we've put them out in Yarra Valley. We've surrounded them. The Poms said they didn't want to come. They didn't want to quarantine. So they finally agreed to come when we put them out in a wine-growing region and surrounded them with cheese and polo field. Is that, am I true or false?
There's all different conditions to be worked out. They basically said they will only come out on, you know, some conditions if they're going to be put in place with all the quarantine systems and everything. But look, the Ashes is going ahead, which is the main thing. So we'll wait.
Do you remember last time they had their rider? They wanted quinoa, activated almonds. They basically sent us a frigging rider of what they were prepared to eat. Lentil soup. It was unbelievable. I think Matt Preston got involved at one stage. Will Boxing Day test go ahead?
Look, I think at the moment they're looking at keeping it fairly similar, but that Perth test is the biggest concern because of the clean states and however we're putting it, the dirty states or whatever we want to say at the moment. But I think it will just be adjusted before we get there. Should we move on to some NRL, Mickey?
Yes, please.
The Dolphins are officially the 17th team in the NRL. The league has confirmed they're the Redcliffe Dolphins. We're not sure if they'll be called Redcliffe when they enter the competition in 2023. First expansion team since the Gold Coast Titans.
Why the Dolphins?
I don't actually know. I just assume they
like the name. To give it a Queensland flavour, how about the Cane Toads, the Toadies? Kind of something. Dolphins. I'm sick of the Dolphins.
They
always put themselves at the head of the animal table. It's, oh, don't touch the Dolphins. Oh, the Dolphins are
They're pretty adorable.
Dolphins. I should be allowed to eat dolphins.
Oh, you are an idiot.
I'd have dolphin sashimi if I could. Need to get to golf quickly. Tell me what's the big golf news.
Well, this is an interesting one. They're talking about Bryson-proofing tournaments by announcing the potential to limit the driver length to 46 inches. Bryson DeChambeau's basically, you know, hitting distances. He's been experimenting with a 48-inch. Hasn't landed on that in the end, but they're talking about just making it so that the rules don't allow that length of driver. Phil Mickelson is one person that's already previously criticised the potential to have that rule, calling it pathetic and saying it can increase injury by shortening the length. But I don't know. What do you think, Mickey?
Just ban the friggin' broomstick putter. That's all I care about. As I said, it's like the poop stick in snooker. It's cheating. It's tantamount to cheating. I won't allow it. Quickly, Tyson Fury. Was this one of the great fights? Deontay Wilder, I thought it was an absolute ripper and a war that ended in the 11th. What say you?
Everyone over in the UAE cricket commentary was talking about it, watching the replays, watching the highlights. Everyone loved it. It was a huge fight. But I think the highlight at the end was the singing. I think, can we squeeze it in? Can we squeeze
it in?
Yes, we
can.
Great fight, October 9th, 2021. We'll go down to history as a great fight, I hope. And I got one thing to say. Put on my blue suede shoes, baby. Boarded the plane. A touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues. In the middle of the pouring rain. I was walking in Vegas.
There he goes.
I was walking with my feet on the field. I was walking in Vegas.
He needed a low blow to the cods to get up to that top note.
I reckon you've got Manny Pacquiao covered, though.
Well, I don't know. You be the judge, Manny.
And you come to me in a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love, then you're softly in me. It's me you need to show.
Thanks, Nearly. We'll catch up with you soon. There it is, our Wednesday sports wrap.
It's Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, This is Malloy.
Big Smash Mouth news today, Dave.
Yeah.
Lead singer Steve Harwell, no longer part of the band.
Gone.
54-year-old rocker retiring from music to deal with his physical and mental health. He had a shocker.
He's had a bad one.
He was on stage, went a bit of a rant, and retired immediately.
That was it.
So, has form in this department.
They'd be a fun band to see, by the way, Smash Mouth, because All Stars is a great song that everyone
All
knows.
All Stars is great. Still, it's the end of Shrek.
It's Shrek,
you know,
exactly
when they
right.
They have the party at the end of Shrek.
Exactly.
And a moment that has been borrowed by every animated film since, which now ends in a party.
You're right.
Featuring the cast singing songs.
Yeah, of course.
From rock bands. But, he's got form in this department, though. We played him acting behaving badly at a concert previously. It goes on for a bit, but have a listen at the end where the guy who he's having a go at just tells him to play All Star.
Just play All Star.
You throw one more piece of shit on f***ing stage, I'm going to come find your ass. I'm going to beat your ass whoever the f*** you are out there, okay? You want to be a badass? Come up here. Come on. Walk your badass up here. Come on. You bring your ass on stage, whoever's throwing shit at me, I will tell you right now, I will beat the f*** out of you, okay? For thousands of people right now, because I'm gonna walk on stage, and guess what? You're paying for it, motherfucker, okay?
You can hear the band trying to just break into the song. Let's get going. Let's just get out of here.
Valet Smash Mouth, though. That's
good as a cue as any for this.
Oh, Song Whisperer.
Dave, the Song Whisperer.
Yeah.
One of Dave's two segments, the other being Dave's Corner. Could be the last Dave's Corner, according to legal action.
This might be it.
To know more,
wrap your ears around
in.
Ep 22 after
our
the
podcast,
show.
Of course. And that's then you can listen to Dave's
it's the
Corner.
Spin-off, yeah.
Synopsis, please.
All right. A song named after a military leader. Yep, this leader was something of a hero. He was an advocate for human rights and fought for freedoms. Also has a giant landmark named after him.
Idi Amin?
No.
Pol Pot?
No, I wouldn't have thought that's human rights and freedoms fighting for those. Not Pol Pot nor Idi Amin.
Which side he was fighting
on. Okay, he's a good guy, this guy. He's a good guy.
He's one of the good guys. 133353. Come on!
Give us a call.
For the drive home, this is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be a beauty. Make no mistake, Glenn Robbins is on deck. Haven't caught up with him for a while,
it's been a
Dave.
While.
He's got plenty going on, had a near-death experience.
Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of that. And he wants to talk about stuff that looks harder to do than it actually is.
Okay. Throwing up a few topics to Sabo, Glenn. Can't wait.
He's come in armed and dangerous. We'll take some calls and some tweets, so we'll get to that right now in this segment.
Dave, the Song Whisperer.
Song Whisperer, synopsis, please, Dave, for today's song.
Yes, it's a song named after a military leader. This leader was also something of a hero. He was an advocate for human rights. He fought for freedoms and also has a giant, I'm talking really, really big landmark named after him.
Attila the Hun involved?
There is no Attila the Hun song. Is there? No. Maybe there is. I'm not sure.
Smash Mouth?
Not Smash Mouth. Valet, that band as well. No. And
well, we don't know if the band's finished. They might
mate,
be back.
You can't go on with like that. Steve Harwell, he's the voice of it. You can't replace that.
All right,
that.
Settle down.
All right.
Brett's on the line. Brett, you've heard all the clues. What are you thinking?
Oliver's Army by Elvis Costello.
Great song. Was a great general, a leader.
Right, military.
Oh, that's a good song, we'd take it.
Elvis Costello, we play that song, but it is not Oliver's. Sorry, Brad.
Hey, duke him, Dave.
You've got yourself a case of Brick Lane Draft on its
case
way.
Case of Brick
for
Lane
you.
Draft. That's the best in the business.
You're welcome, mate. It's great beer.
Least I can do.
Yeah, really good.
It is. Still get it at Dan Murphy's, by the way. Home of the great Brick Lane Draft. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Who else?
All right, let's go to Steve. G'day, Steve.
G'day. How are you guys?
Good, man. What's your guess?
I was thinking Free Nelson Mandela by the Specials. Oh, but yes, good song, Dave. I didn't hear the part that said he was a military leader.
Right.
Well, but he's a spiritual leader, and he went on to be a leader of a people.
I'd love to play the specials with Free Nelson Mandela, but no.
Yes, no. Jeez, Dave. Too right on for you, is it, Dave?
Yeah, a bit too cerebral on me. A bit too high for me.
Thanks, Dave. Aaron's on the line. Aaron, song, please.
Mickey Dave, thinking maybe you too, Pride in the Name of Love.
Who's that about?
Martin Luther King. Yes. So I'm not sure about the military.
Right. He was a great leader.
Another great leader. Fought for freedoms as well. Human rights, as we know about. Pride
the highest accolade
in the
possible.
Name of love. Is that the song? No, it's not. Dave. Aaron,
took him, Dave.
A case of Brick Lane Draft, though. It's on its way for you there, Aaron. Thank you for calling, mate.
Jason's on the line. Jason, a song, please.
I reckon it'd have to be Treaty by Yossi Indy.
Do love this song, Jason.
What is that about? Is it Mabo related? Or was it just generically, about a treaty? Yeah. You selfish bastards. Yeah, anything would do.
Any danger.
Any danger of helping us out.
Yossi
Indy
treaty is not right, though. It's not.
Let's go to Tim. Tim?
Yeah, g'day, Tim.
G'day, boys. How are you on this fine Wednesday afternoon?
Much better for speaking to you, sir. Could I have your tip, please?
When the General Talks by Midnight Oil.
Oh. Now, listen, they are always banging on about the right thing, this band.
Yeah.
They are human rights activists, band. Talking about a military leader. Then the General's Talk, Dave.
You are... No, it's not. Tim, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you $100 worth of grilled anyway because you're a good bloke. No, I just feel like Tim's right in the ballpark, but not when the Generals talk. So some grilled on its way, courtesy of
Malloy.
What do
you mean by right in the ballpark?
Oh, well, maybe we'll go to the next caller. Maybe Chris might be able to figure it out for us. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's your guess?
Midnight Oil, Kosciuszko.
You know, Mick, Thaddeus Kosciuszko was a Polish military leader.
Put the Wikipedia away, Dave. Put it away.
You're absolutely right. Kosciuszko.
Hang on. What's the large landmark?
Mount Kosciuszko.
Hey, guys, settle down.
Okay.
I knew it. I knew the answer.
You've also got $100 worth of grilled coming your way, which is seriously amazing. Well done to you, Chris. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Thank you
was
very much, guys.
Was he a military general, though? Was he a military
leader? He was a military leader. Spiritual. Indeed, he was.
Right,
advocate for human rights. Something of a hero, indeed. Whatever. Thaddeus Kosciuszko. His heart is still in a museum somewhere from the 1700s. True story.
Next to Farlops.
Maybe. Triple M.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
It's always a great day when this guy joins us. He's part of the podcast, which is called Somehow Related with Dave O'Neill. It's Glenn Robbins joining us right now on Malloy.
Friend of the show, Glenn Robbins. How are you, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm in my car, as per normal, in my garage, in the dark. And I'm starting to feel used to it now. It feels good. So,
as long as you're not parked within 500 metres of a primary school, you won't look that suspicious.
Got a set of binoculars in the car. They look suspicious. So that's for checking out the surf. It's got nothing to
that's
do with
it. That's for checking out the surf. We know you're a keen surfer and golfer. Yeah. Speaking of your podcast, you know I love it, Somehow Related. The latest episode, Somehow Related, Austria and Daylight Saving Time. What was the relation there, just out of interest?
Oh, that Austria, I think, was the first place to do it, I think. I never listened to the answers at the end.
That's the most boring link I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, you know, I do. As soon as I've done it, I forget. I did it weeks ago. Well, what did you do on your radio show yesterday?
What's the difference? What's the difference?
You don't remember what you did last week, 2 weeks? If I asked what you did on the show 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't remember. So give me a break.
How are Germany and the schnitzel related? Germans like schnitzels. I mean, what are you doing, mate? Just phoning it in.
I did not come up with the idea. It's not my idea. Yeah, if you listen to it, you realize that it's Sam, our computer friend, who supplies all the ideas. I didn't write it. I didn't come up with it. Jeez.
Do you have any involvement at all? What do you do? Do you just turn up
on
the time?
As much as you do, I'll just show you.
You know what you are? You're like Frank Sinatra when he was singing My Way at the end, when he had to have someone sitting in the front row wearing one of those hats that had the lyrics on it. So it's hard to watch. Sad, and hard to watch. Okay, listen to me. What's even sadder was this quote from you during the course of said episode. Dave?
Yep.
I've worked out that having a baby in the house for a day
is around about the same amount of work, energy and food for a dinner party. It's around about the same.
Yeah.
It's a lot of effort. You've got to go out and buy things, create things, set things up, clean it up as you go or clean up at the end. And added to that, the one guest that you have at the dinner party shits himself a couple of times.
Not the greatest guest.
Not the greatest guest. And you think to yourself, if you were going to have another dinner party, you probably wouldn't invite the guest that shits himself that you have to clean up a couple of times during the day. Don't get me wrong. Love every minute of it.
Well, firstly, I've known you for 30 years and never been invited to a dinner party once of these mythical dinner parties that you're holding.
No, so that is not the point I'm trying to make, my stepdaughter had a child and I do a bit of babysitting during COVID, doing the right thing. And you put it in the hard basket.
What have you said? You've been asked to babysit a young child and just wiped your hands on it.
No, I haven't wiped my hands. I would do it. I'm doing it plenty of times. But when he goes home, you look around the house, it's like a bomb's hit it. There's toys, there's food everywhere, there's nappies everywhere. You're going, this is like I've just had a dinner party. I'm not picking up bottles. I'm picking up nappies with crap in them. And it's not dissimilar. So I'm just drawing an analogy for those at home, for what it's really like if you're thinking about having kids. Now, I know, Mick, you've had kids. I got two, you whinging idiot.
I got two at the same time. That's like trying to defuse a bomb. You know what I mean?
You've had help. You've had help, I reckon, you know.
A staff of eight who work around the clock. So when it gets too much, I just leave them in the car for a few hours.
You do not do that.
Go about my business. Hold that thought, Glenn.
This is Malloy.
Joined by Glenn Robbins, who has found something that's harder than it looks.
Babysitting is harder than it looks.
Is that your thesis?
Yeah, just... Well, I'm saying discuss. You tell me what are things that that are harder than they look.
Well, doing a national radio show surrounded by bozos, that's a high degree of difficulty. People think it looks easier. It's not keeping all the plates spinning on this show when you're the only one with vision.
Well, you just go bang. I was going to start off pretty easy and go back in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard. It's much harder than it looks.
Well, it is. I've never tried it because it's like a jackknife effect. It's the opposite of what you think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
right. If Russell Coit can do it, I can't do it.
There's a trick to it, you know, back in the trailer.
Yeah.
What you do, here we go.
Write this down, kids.
What you do, you put like a broom or like a rake handle in the corner of the trailer, and then when you're backing it, you keep your eye on that rake, and that gives you a really good idea of what direction the trailer's going. Try it.
Well, that's good.
It works. Are you welcome?
Russell Coit reckons if you can see the trailer in your mirror, that's the side you pull the steering wheel down. So if it's in your right mirror, you pull it down right. If it's in your left mirror, you pull it down, and it'll correct it. Anyway, take that home. Okay, I've got others. Flipping a pancake.
Flipping a pancake's hard. I'll see your pancake and raise you an omelette. That can be tough too.
Yeah, good point. Omelette's really... Hang on. What, you've actually cooked something?
Oh, mate, don't you... This is my signature dish. It's a signature dish. I learned it in prison.
Oh.
Three eggs... ham, a bit of cheese, onion, wooshka. And then don't try and do it perfectly. You know what I mean? Cook it half and then scramble it a bit. Knock it around. Yep. Treat it mean.
Mm.
And then
fold it in half.
Okay.
No, that's good. Should be on Celebrity MasterChef. You know what's harder than it looks? Surfing.
Well, surfing looks hard. I don't buy that. Surfing looks terribly hard.
Mm.
But people can make it look easy. Like my good self, when I came to your 40th birthday up in Byron Bay, and everyone got on the deck and watched me surf for 3 hours. Don't you remember that?
You know what I remember? You coming in looking like you'd just smoked a point break, like you just won the something in from Hawaii. It was a longboard break at Watergoes. The surf was 2 feet high, and Glenn comes in with a board under his board under one. I'm going, oh, man, it was good till I got caught in the washing machine out there. It really threw me around.
You stood and applauded as I surfed all afternoon. I nailed it. You were jealous. Your mates lasted about 10 minutes, so I'm taking full credit for that one. I tell you what's hard, going down the park with grandchildren and attempting to get on the ride, any of the rides at the park, like the slides hard.
Swings.
You get on the swings, you get dizzy on the merry-go-round. They're hard work, seriously.
Unless you've got two twin boys, otherwise known in the local park as the Cray twins, who can pretty much get on any ride they like at a moment's notice with a bit of heavy activity.
if you know what I mean.
Oh, so they just they muscle up to that and they go, mate, off you get.
It gets a bit standovery for a while, but we get there.
You know what's really hard that people make look easy in the movies? Yeah. Kicking in a door. Have you ever kicked in a door? I've kicked in a door, yes. I was going to do a gig in the city. I parked in a multi-level car park and the elevator wasn't coming and it says use the stairs only in an emergency. I go into the stairwell. I get down to the bottom. The bottom door's locked. I go, oh, no, I'm going to have to go back up. I go back up and I'm now locked in the stairwell. I'm running late for the gig. I pull myself up to the grate that is above the door downstairs. I start screaming. I was near Chinatown. Two people were obviously... two Chinese people walking towards me. I start screaming, help me, help me. They didn't speak English, which is fair enough. So I jumped down and I did a flying karate kick at the door. And the doors burst open. I ran backstage and killed the gig.
Ah, and, like a Jackie Chan film is what it is.
Well, you know, when they do the biopic of my life, that'll be the opening scene.
All right, well, I kicked in a doggy door once, but that was about it. Hey, Glenn, hang about. We're going to have more after this.
Yep, Glenn thought he was dying, so don't go anywhere. Stick around. It's Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
We are joined by Glenn Robbins on the show right now.
He's a national treasure, and we have to look after him because he's getting increasingly fragile. he's in a high-risk COVID category as we speak. Might not be here forever. And I'm sick of people who take for granted what they have at the time.
Gotcha.
And only realise it when they lose it. Yeah. Glenn, true or false, you had a near-death experience recently. Glenn.
Well, look, yes. I am known as a catastrophizer, maybe a bit of a hypochondriac, maybe overreact to certain symptoms. But this happened the other day. I went to the toilet. I was standing up, so I wasn't doing the other business. I was urinating. And I finished urinating, and I noticed something in the floating around, and it was a dark piece of something. I thought, oh, maybe that was a spider, or maybe it was, I don't know, something, a bit of dirt or something. Anyway, so I go to the toilet, and then about an hour or so later, and there it is again. So it's happened again. Okay. I think, okay, this is coming out of me. Oh. Something sinister is coming out in my urine, and it is in the bowl. I thought, oh no, this is bad. Then I went and sat down. I started Googling things. Started talking to my partner, who's a nurse, and she's going, I don't know what it could be. Blah blah blah. Blah. I'm sweating now. Really, I'm in trouble. I go a third time. I then look, and I notice a bit of belly button lint fall out of my belly button. All into the line of my urine and hit the bowl. I go, hallelujah, I'm not dying. It's a bit of fluff from my bloody navel. So it was navel fluff the whole time.
The only thing that could make that story better was if you actually did go to the doctor and that happened in front of the doctor as you made the discovery. And what was the feeling like? What was the predominant feeling? I'm a dickhead or yes, I'm alive?
No, yes, it was triumph. It was yes, I'm alive. I'm going to live. I'm living. I'm loving. This is so good. Everything's going to be all right.
I'm going to put it to you, Glenn. That's not the first time you've nearly died. I'm talking about you on the Visard show one night doing a cross from an ultralight.
Yes.
And an ultralight has the engine behind the seat. Yeah. You're on the ultralight. And for comic effect, you were wearing a Biggles headset and goggles and, of course, a scarf.
What happened was, and I didn't even know, I was up there flying and I did a joke about Steve said to me, where are you? And I pulled out a map and then the map flew out of my hands and said, oh, well, I was about to tell you. Now I can't tell you where I am because I don't have the map. Yeah. And then the pilot goes, we've got a problem. And I think, oh, that's embarrassing. My map has blown into the prop and it's bringing us down. So we're going down really fast. We land in a paddock, which is not made for landing on.
Yes.
Land really hard. I get out and he goes around. I think he's going to find my map. He then pulls out my scarf, which was wrapped around my neck. Luckily, it wasn't in a knot. And you watch the vision back and you see it go into the prop. So it's going into the prop, going at full pelt. Yeah. And then it just very gently slides. It was so close as a snapping my neck. So anyway, I live to tell the tale. I'm okay. Yeah. But we go up and we realize we don't have the right audio. So we redo the audio, me and Visard, with the shots. And Visard goes, look, he's gone down. I don't know what's happened. This is bad. He makes out that it's really dramatic.
There it is.
And there it is. It makes the paper, it goes there. And I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty funny because I know I'm okay. But people at home don't, people think I've crashed in a plane.
Yeah.
It makes the papers the next day that Robbins goes down in near-death experience. And so for about an hour there, I couldn't get to ring home to tell people that I was okay. They all thought that I died. Yeah, so, yeah, you're right.
It's the best bit of live TV you've ever been involved in. And yes. It beats anything you did on Kath and Kim. There's nothing like a near-death experience or...
Something happened to you?
To me, yes. I'm sure I've told you this before, but I was in New Zealand and I went bungee jumping. And it was one of those bungee jumps where you have to go to the top of the mountain and you're not bungee jumping into a river, you're bungee jumping off the side of the mountain. So when the cord kicks in, you're 3,000 feet above the ground. So I climb the mountain, I climb the tower, and when I get there, just for a joke, I say, is this where the ladies jump or have you got anything higher? The guy goes, very funny, very funny. We're just going to attach this to your legs and all you have to do now is run up and jump off. And I've seen it and I don't want to do it. So to buy time, I'm going, that's it. I just run up and jump off. Yes, mate, you run up and jump off. So I did. I ran up and jumped off. And as I jumped off in midair, all I hear from behind me is, hang on, mate, not yet.
No.
I am 3,000 feet above the ground, suspended to nothing, thinking I am suspended to nothing. You know how your life flashes before your eyes?
Yeah.
It was just me on the couch watching Foxtel. So anyway, the cord kicks in. Anyway, they wind me back up. And I go, these guys know they're in trouble. I go, who said that? He goes, mate, that was me. I said, mate, you'd be in a lot of trouble if that wasn't so funny.
That's right.
But I honestly leapt off the side of a mountain thinking I was attached to nothing. And that's as good as it gets. Glenn, have you got anything to plug?
Just the wonderful podcast that I do with Dave O'Neill. And
somehow related. Yeah, so can you come up with a better one than Australia and Daylight Saving Time?
yeah, Austria.
Hey, good on you, Glenn.
Thanks, guys.
Glenn Robbins joining us.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And we're here thanks to Ladbrokes. And you can Ladbroke at this spring carnival. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
A lot of our listeners will be coming off a big win today at the Caulfield Guineas. What a day. I've had a first four there.
Oh, well,
that's first, second, third, and fourth.
Oh, Mickey.
And one of my friends got a pash. In the Verve Clicco tent.
Everybody.
What a day it was for the lads. And that was an unbackable thing at the start of the day.
No
and
kidding.
Taking place after race 7.
Jeez.
Might have got him across the line.
Well, it's a happy day for that young gent. Congratulations.
She clearly had the blinkers on. as we say, and a big hello to Rosie if you're listening.
Oh, not our Rosie.
Our Rosie.
Adam Rosenbach. Yes, congratulations,
that's
mate.
Right.
That's amazing.
I should have opened with that.
No, that's
breaking
news. I was
protecting
news.
Him.
No,
that's a true story.
Yeah, it's all well done.
But anyway, lots of people coming off with the Ladbrokes app who would have got... No one on course would have done faster or quicker or better than the boys and girls carrying the Ladbrokes app. It is up and running and going bonkers. It's the best and the quickest in the business. Make no mistake. You know what you can do?
Tell me.
On that app, have a blended bet.
How does it work?
Well, you can back multiple runners to win.
Yeah.
And if any of them win, first past the post, you win.
Oh,
so you take multiple winners, you blend the odds.
Yes.
You take an odds and... Boom shakalaka, you are on fire. How many chances do you want in the same race?
That's unbelievable.
Everyone's a winner. You know what you do?
Tell me.
You get to punch the air and go, yes, I got it. Everyone else on track thinks you're a winner. They'll look and go, I have to have him.
I love it. Well, blended bets, what you can get with the new upgraded Ladbrokes app. Yes, so if you've already got the Ladbrokes app, it might be a good idea to upgrade or update. Make sure it's the latest one because it's super fast. And you want to be on course. You want to have that accuracy and you want to have that speed. You want to go, what? I've got 30 seconds to go. They're about to jump. Bang, on the Ladbrokes app.
You can
off
have
you go.
As many runners as you want in the same race that you can back to win. And you can pick them in your own system. Some people go jockeys. Some people go trainers. Some people go names.
Yeah, it's it.
My favourite name, of course, is Ginger Nuts. We did this. We played this grab on Front Bar recently. But this is a kid in the mounting yards, a child, asking a trainer how they came up with the name Ginger Nuts.
But we're here to talk about Ginger Nuts.
So who named him and how did they name him?
No, well, he was named by most of the owners. They all put their ideas through, but I think they all agreed it was Ginger Nuts because he is just one bright chestnut horse.
Ah, well said, sir.
And he has red testicles. Let's not forget that.
The giant ginger nuts.
Put that into your blended bet and you're away, muchacho.
Get amongst it. Thanks to Ladbrokes. Ladbroke at this spring carnival. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. It's Malloy on Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Triple M, it is Malloy. And, hey, we're just about done for the day. Glenn Robbins was fantastic just before, and you missed the chat with Glenn and had a near-death experience. You might want to catch up with the podcast. Malloy, you get it on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcast from. Big show. And that's
and
it
while
for
you're
today.
At the podcast, you'd want to check out Dave's Corner.
Oh, yeah.
Controversy today involving... Dave's Corner itself.
Yeah, I've reached out to the big techs and see if I can get a bit more promotion.
Dave's expansion plans are under the pump.
They are.
He's a fair way.
They've come to a grinding halt, and they've only had 22 episodes. So this, you're right, it might be over by 30 episodes.
Who knows?
This might be the last today.
You could be sued. You could be sued.
I could be.
I can't be sued, can I?
Well, you could be, actually.
All right. Okay, cease and desist immediately.
All right, no more Dave's Corner. But that's episode 22, which is available right now, wherever you get your podcast.
All right, who's on tomorrow, Dave?
Jim Jefferies is on tomorrow because, you know, it's been a Thursday and all. Oh, and Titus O'Reilly, so it's the great combo, Titus and Jim. And Gone Wild been a Thursday as well. Back to Drive You Home again tomorrow with Malloy here on Triple M.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show podcast. Putting a bet on with Ladbrokes is as fast as tap, tap, boom. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.